She's right in front of the visitor center, nearly almost, and her dogs are coming down the chute. They are at a nice steady trot, and it's a good crowd here on Front Street. A lot of people have turned out to see Jesse Royer coming in fourth in Iditarod 2015. Her dogs are entering into the chute right now. She's kicking behind them. They're doing well. Good trot, tails wagging, heads up. Eager beavers, these dogs coming in. They've got some, they got their booties on, and they got a couple things around their paws. Jessie herself is coming in with a camera in her hands, taking a couple snapshots as she comes under the Burled Arch here. She's saying hello to friends and family.
Lady, God, great.
Putting the snow hook in.
There it is.
And the first thing for her is a Mountain Dew. Is that a diet Mountain Dew?
No, that's full sugar.
No, that's the full sugar, the old stuff, they say. She's going to take a Mountain Dew. She's shaking some hands and making her way down. Her team gives a big hug to Mark Nordman, the race manager and coordinator there. She's petting her dogs, and they are rolling up on their backs in the snow, doing that goofy dog stuff that everybody knows sled dogs for. She's patting those dogs, making her way down to the leader, and she's saying thanks and hello to people who are here to see her finish. Jesse, these leaders again?
This is Ranger and Phaser.
How'd they do out there?
Oh, they're pretty awesome. Ranger, good boy. This is Ranger's fourth Iditarod, but this is Phaser's first, and he did pretty darn good. Oh, you did good. Yeah, that's a good boy. All right. Good boy.
Well, she's giving a lot of love to her lead dogs there, Ranger and Phaser, as you heard her say. She's talking with race marshal Mark Nordman, and they are going to be checking her gear in and getting her officially off the trail here in Iditarod 2015. Mark gives her a pat on the back as she heads back towards her sled with a few more hugs and friends and family. And the dogs are still looking good. Heads up, alert, only one or two sitting down. Although we got a wheel dog here who's laying on his side. Looks pretty tired, but he's getting some love from somebody else here in the chute. He perks right up. He's alert. And he just looks like he's at a good long run on the Iditarod.
Yep. All right.
Jesse Royer, of course, a musher from Montana. She's been running the Iditarod for nearly a dozen years, perhaps more. And this is her career best, fourth place in Iditarod 2015. It was a close race for Jesse out of Unalakleet, chasing a lot of well-established mushers. She herself, of course, no stranger to a top 10 finish, but she was able to gain ground on Allie Zirkel and pass her on the coast to be fourth into the finish here. She's going through her gear and checking her sleeping bag now.
Right there on the bottom.
Trail mail, vet book. And she'll be taking some questions in just a moment.
Matt, can you hear me?
Yeah, Rick, I can hear you.
Yeah, Allie Zirkel now through safety, about a mile on this side of safety, about 21 miles from the finish line.
All right, well, we'll be here, for when Allie gets under the chute and all the other finishers. It's the top 20 here live on KNOM. And some of those Western Alaska mushers as well, if they don't make it into the top 20, we'll be here for John Baker and Richie Deal and Pete Kaiser, of course, and Chuck Schaefer. Bless his heart, whenever he does get in, we'll be sure to get him as well. She is going to be signing in to get off the trail here, and you can hear the crowd really encouraging. A lot of love for Jesse Royer here with a career best fourth finish in Iditarod 43 in this year 2015.
Jesse's time
is 9 days, 1 hour, 51 minutes and 9 seconds.
Right. Let's give Jesse a big cheer.
I'm
just glad to be here.
And we're glad you're here too.
It's been a great race, and I'm pretty darn happy with it.
That's good, and your dogs seem to be in really great shape and very, very happy to be here with us.
They did. It's an exceptional dog team, and I'm pretty proud of them.
And you've got family here waiting for you too?
Yep, my dad and all my friends in Anchorage, several friends from Anchorage.
Hey, great.
So,
and look at all the fans out here. They came out this morning. This gorgeous morning.
It is. It's awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Jesse, this is a career best for you, and you have kind of climbed and climbed and climbed and gotten better and better over the years. So what are you looking at in the future for your mushing career?
Well, you always try to do your best. I mean, I've been top 10 before. This is my first top 5, so that's pretty exciting. I just come into this race every year just to do the best I can with this team. You know, and get my team to Nome as fast as I can. And whatever place it is great.
So are we going to keep seeing you at the Iditarod?
Hopefully, as long as I can keep avoiding it. So,
Jesse, at what point did you know you were having a pretty good race that you realized that you were going to be able to be somewhere in maybe that top 5?
Well, the whole race, signing into all the checkpoints, I've always kind of been right up at the top. You know, so, I mean, even at the halfway point, I knew I was at least still in the top 10, you know, and maybe didn't know top 5 was a possibility until maybe the coast. But up till then, I've always kind of been in the top 10, so that kind of had me pretty excited the whole race.
There were some pretty good winds and pretty good weather on the coast. How did you and your team sort of handle that?
I didn't run into anything too bad. The blowhole was, I mean, it was blowing pretty good today. It wasn't... I've been in worse, but it wasn't fun either. but we went through it really well, and I don't think that, besides the sugar snow, which just made things really slow, I don't think the coast was really all that bad. I mean, I've definitely been in a lot more colder and windier, miserable conditions on the coast than this year, so I don't have anything to complain about.
Jesse, you and I spoke at Tripod Flats just outside of Caltag, and you moved up considerably since then. Did you see yourself moving up, or do you think you just were able to run that team more consistently than others? What do you think?
Well, it's funny, because you're the one that was asking me and Galena about my schedule, and then my schedule at Tripod, and I was like, I just kind of, like you said, a calculated wing, you know? And I couldn't have told you at Tripod what I was going to do, because I got to Unalakleet and made a decision. I was going to stay 4 hours. I got ready to go and realized I was early and was ready in 3.5 and said, what the hell, I'm just going to go for it. And then I got to Shaktulik, and I didn't decide to go through Shaktulik until I actually signed in. Like, I was not planning on going through. I was going to stop, and then I just looked at the clipboard, and I'm like, the heck with it, I'm going. So I couldn't have even told you at Tripod what I was going to do. That's why what depends on what the team looks like, and I just go with it.
How does that team respond to those kind of impromptu decisions? Are they hungry for more, or was it a gamble at all?
Oh, it was probably a bit of a gamble, but they handled it really, really well. The only thing I didn't realize was how slow the trail was going to be, and how it was just so soft and sugary. The dogs worked so hard, and we didn't go anywhere. I felt so bad for them, and so I was kind of frustrated getting to Koyak, but then by the time I got there and I realized everybody else was even slower, or not everybody, but several teams were even slower, I felt a little better after that. but it was a gamble, but I went from Tripod to Koyak on 4 hours of rest. It's 150 miles. So yeah, that was a gamble, and even Mitch said something about being that kind of gutsy, but it's what got me up there, and the team handled it.
Yeah. And Jesse, when we talked again in Galena, you talked about you're training these dogs by yourself for the most part up in the high hills of Montana where there's actually still snow, and you're placing fourth. You're in front of Jeff King, who has said he's got a staff helping him with this. How do you feel about that, about how you're running your dogs and training them for this?
It's just a lot of work, and like I said, I told Allie earlier I was in a hurry to get to Nome so I could get some sleep, and she said, well, don't be in too big of a hurry, because at that time she was still ahead of me. But it's just been a long winter. I mean, 90 to 100 hour weeks, you know, just all winter long. So I guess I do a lot of, I don't have a lot of help, you know, so I have to do everything myself, but I think I know the dogs really well and know what they're capable of, and I'm surprised that the dogs came through and handled it really well, considering we came from 50 and 60 above to what most of this race was 40, 50 below, and then but they have seen some deep snow, so we did have a lot of deep snow down there, so that was good.
Earlier you said that Mitch told you that your move was kind of gutsy, and I wonder if that's the kind of musher you are, is it, like, you know.
Well, if you want to be in the top, you have to be willing to take risks. And everybody up there is pushing it. And some of their gambles pay off, and it works, and sometimes it doesn't. Every year is different. And when we were talking earlier about you thought I had the least amount of rest and Aaron had the most, was that just off the checkpoint?
From Caltag to Koyuk.
Okay, but was that just off of checkpoint times?
Yeah.
But see, what you got to look at is people like Allie, Mitch, and me camped out on the trail more. So that doesn't necessarily mean we had less rest. Maybe Aaron stayed at the checkpoints more. I mean, when you're at the top, you got to know how far you can push your team, and you've got to be able to gamble because everybody else is pushing hard too. So.
Now that you've cracked the top five, what's the next goal?
Well, cracking the top five is not easy. There's a lot of really, really nice dog teams out there, and I'm ahead of some teams that I never thought I would be ahead of. So it has a little bit to do with just everything falling in place and working out. But I mean, every year you just do your best, and depending on the conditions, some of those gambles pay off and some of them don't. So that's why we have multiple different people that have won this race, because it's not easy for even people who've already won to win again, So it just keep working at it.
Jesse, any strategies you saw employed in this race, or any standout dogs that you think you'll definitely be bringing back or trying out next year?
All of the 12 I finished with, 6 have been here before, 6 are new. And my little brown leader up there, I actually never thought he would finish this race. This is his first Iditarod, he's only 4. And he's not always the best eater, but he's a really good leader, so I thought, well, I'm just going to take him, because one of my other main leaders who's always been here didn't even make the team this year. So I kind of threw him in there just to replace her, and he ate like a rock star the whole race and pretty much led a big, big majority of the whole race and was just fabulous. So that was pretty exciting, yeah.
What's his
Phaser
name?
Phaser, yeah. Yeah, I never thought he'd finish, but he did. He was awesome.
Phaser Sistani?
Yeah. Is he what?
No.
How do you feel about the way your team looks coming in here after 1,000 miles?
I think they look pretty good. I think they're doing pretty good. I'm pretty happy with them. This is one of the bigger teams I finished with. So, yep. They're due for a well-deserved rest.
Thanks
so
much, Jesse.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
You can hear the crowd. Very enthusiastic for Jesse Royer, finishing in fourth place here in our Iditarod 2015. Iditarod 43, a career best fourth finish for Jesse. Reporting live under the Burled Arch on Front Street in Nome. For KNOM, I'm Matthew Smith.